I've worked in lots of areas of communication and marketing, and I think that's what drew me so strongly to content, is that it is the long game of marketing. And I'm not interested in doing short game,
no,
super tactical sort of thing. I come from a much more strategic, you know, building loyalty, building advocacy place.
As a business owner, you'll know you either need to hire a writer or become a writer. Welcome to the show where you'll hear conversations covering everything you need to know about writing for and about your business.
Okay, so hi and welcome back to the show. And I'm very excited today to bring you Amy Lee. Amy is a brand and content specialist, and she works with passionate business owners to build and implement brand story strategy so they can amplify their message and attract their tribe. She's developed brand story, created content strategy, and written content for clients, both big and small, across the globe. Curious by nature, Amy was the little girl who always asked why and never stopped. And now she uses that talent to help turn the why of businesses like ours into meaningful brands and inspiring content that truly connects with the people that matter to us. So, hi, Amy, welcome, and so pleased to have you on the show today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So let's start off. If you could just tell us where your business is called Heart Content. Could you tell us where that came from?
Yeah, absolutely. So Heart Content was born a little bit accidentally on purpose. So I'd left another, my last real job. And it's funny, I still talk about that job where I worked for somebody else as my last real job, even though I've been doing this now for nearly 9 years. And but the name Heart Content was born from wanting to create content for clients that was led by emotion, so, and had the ability to connect with the heart of an audience. So I work with my clients to help them get to the heart of their why and then connect that with their clients' why. And I use brand story strategy to do this. So it was important to me that emotional element, that heart element, was there somewhere in the name of my business. So my goal is to help my clients get consistent content that amplifies their message and attracts their tribe. And the best way to do that is to get into the heart of their customer.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's fantastic. And it's just such a brilliant name. I'm still working
Thank
on
you.
My name. I thought I'm going to start off with just using my own name because it's easy, set up my website. At some point I will change it, but still haven't got there yet.
But I think too that you don't necessarily have to. I mean, my idea was that I would start with something that was a brand name rather than my own name, because my goal is to sort of add a few writers to my team and grow that team. But then I also have, a plan for a bit more of a personal brand where it will be my name and, there'll be sort of the same things that I'm doing now, but just me and the speaking side and So I think it's perfectly okay to use your own name as your personal brand, in particular if you're a consultant. So if you're a consultant or you're a coach and that's the space that you work in, using your own name is perfectly fine.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Okay. Okay. So yeah, you're here today to talk about why having a content strategy is really key to writing that converts. So just could you give us a little bit of context around that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I think a good place to start is, what is content anyway?
Yeah.
And across the internet, you'll find lots of definitions of the term. So some people define content as all of your marketing. Some people define it as part of the digital marketing mix. There's a massive move, shift in thinking at the moment, particularly in the content space, with content specialists, that content is now marketing. When we say marketing, what we mean is content, because nearly every piece of marketing that we do now has to have a piece of content created to it. But what defines content, I suppose, as different to, advertising or really very salesy type material, is that it's a piece of marketing communication that's designed to inform, inspire, or create an interaction with your ideal customer. And those three I's, I talk about them as the three I's, those are key. So every piece of content you create should inform, inspire, or create an interaction Inform, inspire, or interaction.
Interaction. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's great.
So,
yeah.
And that's what makes it a really valuable piece of content. So content's information presented with purpose through your chosen channel, be that visual or written or audio, however you decide, you know, to do it. And its primary purpose is to educate and create change rather than to directly sell. So even though the end game is to bring people into our tribe and get them to engage with us and buy whatever thing it is that we are selling, content needs to come from a place of wanting to put something valuable into the world. And that's what turns it into a really useful sales tool at the end.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, it's a marketing tool. Yes, it should be designed to deliver sales and client retention. Yes, it should include calls to action and ways to get the customer to take the next step. But the primary goal of a piece of content should always be to one of the three I's, to inform, inspire, or interact with your customer.
Yeah. And it's, I suppose it's more about the long game, isn't it? It's kind of putting that
100%.
Out.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's why, you know, I've worked in lots of areas of communication and marketing. And I think that's what drew me so strongly to content is that it is the long game of marketing. And I'm not interested in doing short game, super tactical sort of thing. I come from a much more strategic, you know, building loyalty, building advocacy place.
Yeah. And why can it feel so difficult to get content, to write content or put content out there?
We all have to create content for our business, which means that whether or not it's something we've been interested in the past, we all have to suddenly become writers. And that doesn't come naturally to all of us necessarily. But it's key to our thought leadership, showing what we know, how we can help and what change we're trying to create for our clients. But it can feel really hard. And I have found that there's a number of reasons for this. And the top reasons don't have anything to do with the writing part at all. So it's not got anything to do with the actual writing. They have more to do with purpose, so which content needs to have. So the first reason content creation can feel so hard is that you don't know your target market. So marketing is a conversation, and to turn your content into a conversation with your ideal client, you actually need to know who they are. So what are their fears? What motivates them? How do they see themselves in relation to the world? What problem do they know they have? What problems don't they know they have? And how do you, you know, bridge that gap for them through your content? What's the customer journey and what questions will they have along that journey to purchase with you? So having an ideal customer persona and knowing how your target market thinks and feels makes it much more easy to create content that speaks to them rather than at them. Answers their questions and connects with their view of the world. So the first thing that can make content creation easier is understanding your target market. The second one that I see all the time is that I do it too, we fall into the trap of feeling like we have to be everywhere in marketing. So many consultants and small businesses fall into that trap of feeling like they have to be everywhere. So, you know, you've got a blog and you've got a podcast and you've got Facebook and you've got Instagram and you're on Pinterest and you're on TikTok and you've got a YouTube channel and you've got an email newsletter and the list goes on. And so I give you permission right now to not be everywhere.
Thank you so much. So, I need that permission. And I'm sure a lot of listeners do as well.
I give you permission to not be everywhere because it's not necessarily productive. And the third thing that I think that makes content creation so hard is not having an editorial statement. So we sort of need to treat our content like we'd treat any other writing. So if we were writing a book, for example, we would, as you know, we would start with a content plan. We would kind of map out some ideas and we would, you know, have that sort of thing. We'd have a purpose. We'd have, you know, a reason for writing in some respect. So creating content without an editorial statement is kind of like showing up to an interview without interview someone without a list of questions you want to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have an editorial statement for your content, you're basically creating content blind.
Yes,
so no wonder it's so hard for us. So an editorial statement is basically, we've been talking a lot about purpose, like purposeful content, and your editorial statement is your purpose. So it says who the content's for. So the item one, knowing about your target market, you know who your customer is, then you know who you're writing for. The type of content you're going to create. So is it going to be, you know, long form, super informative content based on who your audience is, or is it going to be tips and tricks and inspiration, or is it going to be a combination of both of those things? And the why you're creating it. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of the content you're creating? Because if you give your content creation purpose through an editorial statement, it's so much easier to move forward. So those are really the three things.
And with
the three top things.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And with the purpose that you give it, so would you have kind of a primary purpose and a secondary purpose? So, you know, it's to educate your audience on XYZ with an aim to getting them to buy your product at the end of it down the line. Like, which of those is the primary?
Yeah, so no. So the key is to what you want your audience to get out of it. So content needs to be really audience oriented. Mm. So what is it that you want your audience to get out of it? Is it that they're more educated? Is it that they feel more confident? Is it that it answers a question that's been stopping them from moving forward? Is it, and you know, this is where we sort of get to the nuance of writing and the nuance of brand, that your editorial statement, even if it shares things with other people's editorial statements, will be unique to you. Just in the terminology that you use, or the specific way that you you know, say something, or the meaning that you put behind something. And your editorial statement doesn't necessarily have to appear anywhere. So it can just be, you know, it's a benchmark for you to sit there and go, okay, I'm gonna create this piece of content. Does it meet my editorial statement?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then it's possible that it's not a valuable piece of content. Or it could be an indication that maybe your business is changing and it's time to have a look at the landscape of, you know, what's going on in your business, because it could be an indication that your audience has changed.
Yeah, yeah.
Which kind of means that you need to do a little bit of a rethink about, you know, the type of content you're going to create moving forward if you're needing to serve a new audience.
Okay, so you talk about how content strategy is the answer to getting a return on investment for our writing, which I absolutely love, because I often think about, you know, building word assets that are in there for the long haul. And once you've written that blog post, then it can work for you kind of years down the line. So tell me more about that.
Absolutely. So I'm all for the practice of writing for the sake of writing and simply getting words down onto paper to refine our ideas and thinking. Because, you know, at the end of the day, as writers, that's how we get better. But having a strategy around what you're writing that you can implement then into a clear plan will just help you get more from your writing. So, you know, coaches and consultants, we're busy people. And while writing supports thought leadership in our chosen niche, it can sometimes feel like all that writing isn't really delivering a return for effort. We've already talked about the fact that it's a long game. So I can guarantee you that everything you are writing is giving you a return for effort. It's just you might not see it straight away.
Yeah.
But to be able to more clearly align what you're doing with what your goals are, a content strategy is a great way to actually have an understanding of how the content you're writing is bringing you that return. And again, like I come back to purpose all the time, it gives you a really clear purpose for the reason I'm writing this. So even though you might write something and it might not get you an immediate return, you know the reason you wrote it. And so that gives you, like, you know, the warm and fuzzy return of knowing that you've made an investment in what it is that you're trying to build. So content strategy helps you to strategically align the content you're creating with the broader goals of your business. So it's about understanding what it is you're trying to achieve, what your audience is trying to achieve, how you fit into their view of the world. And when you know these things, you'll be able to more easily create content that resonates with them and then generates leads into your business, even if those leads take a little bit of time to come in.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you've sold me on having a content strategy now, and I'm sure the listeners as well. What are the keys to producing a successful content strategy? How do we go about that on a practical level?
So look, there's lots of ways to create a content strategy, and big organizations have big ones with lots of elements. I've found that that just does not work in small business. It makes it way too complex. So the idea is to keep things as simple as we can. So to help you do that, I've put together I'll walk you through what a basic content strategy should include, what elements it should include. And it actually doesn't start with content at all. It starts with your business goals. Mm. So what do you want to achieve in your business in the next 12 months? So what are those, you can do this however you like, but I like to have just two or three things that I want to achieve in my business. So they might be things like, for me at the moment, a big goal for my business that I've been focusing on for a couple of years is moving from a one-to-one to a one-to-many model. And there's lots of steps along the way that I need to do to be able to achieve that goal. But that has been, a part of my content strategy, understanding what those business goals are, because then I can align those with how I'm going to use content to achieve them. So after I know what my, two, three business goals are, I can sit down then and think about what content's going to help me achieve the business goals that I've set. So if my goal is moving, just using this as an example, if my goal is moving from a one-to-one to a one-to-many model, my marketing goal is going to be like increasing my leads. So I'm going to need to, bring more leads into my business. So a piece of content that I might need to create to help me do that is perhaps a lead magnet.
Yeah.
So I can encourage people to download that and join my email list, which means I can also send them my other content and start to build that conversation with them about who I am and what I do and why it matters. So it's about aligning the business goals with content goals that will help you achieve them. Then, of course, you need an editorial statement. We've talked about that because it sets an intention for your content. What type of content are you going to create and who is it for? A content strategy should also contain your brand voice. Now, if you're interested in finding out more about brand voice, I've got a couple of articles that show you how to do it on my website, which I will give at the end of this conversation. But I step by step you through how to work out what your brand voice is. There's a tip sheet, a set of questions you can answer, all of that sort of thing. But brand voice is an important part of brand story strategy, and it's particularly relevant when we're writing anything, because if you're going to be creating content, you need to have good brand voice because it drives your written and verbal communication and helps you to create consistency. So most people that I speak to, they know what their brand voice is. They've just never actually documented it. And the reason it's so powerful to document some of these things and actually write them down is that as your business grows, or you want to outsource your social media, or you want to outsource any of those other things, you've got a documented brand voice that you can share so everybody's on the same page.
Yeah.
And you're all singing in the same choir.
Yeah.
So having that really clearly documented, and then having some like ways we achieve this. So for example, So the first thing is that brand voice has a lot of nuance. Mm-hmm. So with brand voice, I always talk about, and again, you can find out more about this in my resources on my website, but brand voice is as much about what we aren't as what we are. Because, for example, there's a very fine distinction between confident and arrogant.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So how do we come across as confident without sounding arrogant? And getting just clear on what that sounds like for our brand will help us build our unique brand voice and get us to the point as well that even if we're not, people don't hear us, so they might not hear us speak, they might read something and know it's come from us.
Yes. Yeah. I talk about that a lot with my students as well. And, when we've done work on blogging, it's kind of how do you think about your voice and how that comes across in your writing. And so for me, one of my clients said once she really liked my gentle encouragement. And so I think that's the kind of writing coach that I am. And that's how I like to come across in my writing as well. I'm not a write your effing book kind of coach, because there are those kind of writing coaches.
There are,
but that's not me. And I could never be like that. I'd give my clients kind of deadlines and I'll set them homework and things, but I'm not that kind of person. And that hopefully comes across in my writing. So it's, absolutely. I love that. And I love the idea of documenting it so that further down the line you can hand that over to someone else. This is how we speak, and this is how we come across in our writing as well.
Exactly.
And you know, there are certain bloggers I follow who I can hear them in their writing. You know, I can hear their voice when I'm reading it. So that's great if you can achieve that in your writing as well. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Brand voice is really important.
Yeah.
The next thing your content strategy should have is a clear understanding of your target market. We've talked about that a couple of times, mm-hmm. but knowing this will help you choose the right types of content, answer the right questions, and communicate the right message. And then a massive part of your content strategy is a content plan.
Mm.
So that's kind of the final piece. The content plan is the implementation piece of your content strategy. So it details the tactics you're going to use to achieve your content goals, which are driven by your business goals.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to start your content planning by thinking about content pillars.
Mm-hmm.
So this helps you create categories for your content. So it's exceptionally helpful to Google too, because when you load them into, you know, load articles into your blog example, you can give them a category.
Yeah.
And then Google can sort of look at that category and understand what your topic is and rank you better.
Yeah.
So having content pillars is actually good for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
To give you an example, so we in content strategy, we have content pillars, excuse me, content pillars, content themes, and topics. So to give my own, you know, pillar example, my pillars for my business, I have four pillars.
Mm-hmm.
They're brand story strategy, content strategy, content creation, and brand naming.
Okay.
So under the brand story strategy pillar, my themes are things like how to build a brand story, brand strategy, and then what I call the pillars of brand story strategy, which are vision, mission, values, personality, tribe, and brand differentiators. And then I use those themes to create my topics. So under brand values, for example, one of my topics, an actual article that I wrote, was how to take action on your brand values in your business.
Mm.
So my pillar was brand story strategy, because that's the thing that I sell back into. So brand story strategy is my primary, strategic process that I work with clients one-to-one on. And so that's where all my content pushes back to. So then when I talk about brand story strategy, all of my articles on whether they're on brand mission, brand vision, brand values, all push back to the primary thought of all of these elements make up brand story strategy. And if you're interested in finding out more about brand story strategy, you can read this article, or you can book a session with me, or you can, you know, so
yeah,
that also gives you the opportunity.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So it creates a really clear map for how all your content connects together and how the journey happens for the customer. So just quickly to finish up the conversation around content strategy, your content plan needs to also consider like what platforms you're going to publish on, why you're choosing those platforms. So coming back to purpose again, when you're going to publish there, how frequently, and something important is who is going to be responsible for achieving it. And this is where you start to think about resourcing. So we were talking about resourcing before. Who's going to do this? It's a nice benchmark for understanding whether the plan is actually achievable.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing I find is if we set up this plan and we have all these ideas, we get to the end of the year and we haven't done all of the things we thought we'd do. We're so hard on ourselves. We sit there and we go, oh, we didn't do all of those things, when really we were being a little bit unrealistic about what's possible with the resources that we have. So, and it helps us to measure too. Having a plan helps us to measure. So, you know, if you are writing a blog and you're doing it this many times a month, or, you know, and you're sending it out, is it creating engagement? Is it converting to leads? Just having some benchmarks to check against.
Yeah.
But let's talk about content repurposing.
Yes, let's do.
How can we get more from what we write? So content repurposing is something that none of us do enough of, me included.
Yeah.
Like me included. And I think for some people that's because they're not really sure how to go about it. Now, just like there's a few ways that you can approach content strategy and the things you include and don't include, there's lots of ways you can repurpose content. My favorite strategy for repurposing content is what I call the foundational content approach, because it's really simple and it gives you a clear process to follow. So the foundational content approach to repurposing starts by choosing something that's going to be your foundational piece of content. Now, depending on how you like to create content, or how you like to, what's going to align with your business goals under your content strategy. For you, Lizzie, your foundational piece of content might be your podcast, or it might be your blog. You've got a couple of choices. For me, my foundational piece of content is my blog. It's my biggest, most juicy piece of content. So I do that piece first. I write that foundational piece. And then based on what I know I need to create for the rest of my month across my other channels at Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn for my content, that's where I appear at the moment. I know how often I have to post to each of those channels. So I take my blog and my content pillar and my theme, and I reuse things from that massive piece of content and turn it into bite-sized chunks.
Yeah.
So recently I wrote an article that was my top 10 tips for naming a brand or product. For a social post, I turned that into the top 5 mistakes people make when they're naming a brand or product. And I just pivoted that little piece of content. Yeah, it was the same content, small tweak, and I reposted it across my channels and I did a little video about it.
No, and I like that you start from that end as well, because that's what I like to do. And I know there are other people who talk about, you know, maybe you take a post and you write then a blog post from that, but I'm exactly the same. I like to focus on the big juicy content and, like you say, take a piece of that and make that into something bite-sized that you can then repurpose, or take a bit of it and send it out to my email list. My problem is, I don't know, I kind of write something and then I talk about it for a bit and then I have another idea and write the next thing. I don't know if that's common for people. And I forget about it.
That is also my problem.
Okay, I'm glad it's not just me.
No, and it's why I don't do enough repurposing of content. So a way that I have overcome that the first thing is I got super clear on my content strategy this year.
Yeah, I think that's the key, isn't it? Yeah.
And, you know, I fell into the trap a little bit of, you know, I know this stuff. This is my jam. I don't need to document it as clearly as I do for my clients.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can just roll. And this year I decided that maybe that was not a great idea and I should take my own advice. And I got really clear on my content strategy and what I want to achieve. So I'm hyper focused this year. And I also noticed that the 12 months prior, I was doing so much content creation. And even though I love it, I did find it quite draining and tricky to keep up with my schedule and remain consistent. So this year I made a commitment to myself that I would work harder at repurposing. And my way of sort of capturing those ideas when they come up, because I'm, you know, a bit like you, there's so much to write about, about my topic. I've got so much to say. And thinking too, you know, I've been in this business nearly 9 years. I only started blogging 12 months ago. I've got like 9 years worth
of stuff that I
want to finally say. And so having a place where you can capture those ideas, whether it's a spreadsheet or I was using a spreadsheet, but now I use Asana which is a project management tool, I create a little card for all my article topics that I come up with. And if I've got a piece of information that has made me think of the idea, I copy and paste that piece of information onto the card and I save it away for later, so that when, you know, my next round of, you know, my next month theme comes up under whatever the, you know, whatever that topic is for the blog that I've had, I just move it across.
Yeah. No, I have the same, like a folder or Google Doc. It's for later rather than going down the rabbit hole. But I like the idea of putting it in Asana or somewhere like that as well, so you can put it on a card. I like that. I think part of the problem is as well that as we're kind of, you know, like you say, you've been doing it 9 years, as we're learning more and more about our topic, we want to write about the new stuff we're learning, but we forget that our audience isn't necessarily there, and that we need to, in a way, just keep writing about the same things because that's what they want to hear about, maybe.
100%. I agree with that. And I think that this is like, and that's where having a content strategy and a content plan can be really useful, because it reminds us. It reminds us to keep coming back to those things. And I have, you know, our why. And I think, and reminding us who our audience is and where they're at in their journey on the topic that we're experts in. Yeah. So I think too that, you know, one of the things that I have is I have an article that explains brand story strategy. And in a very simple way. And I've written lots of other articles about brand story strategy, but this is like a beginner's guide.
Yeah.
A beginner's guide to brand story strategy and what it is and why it's important and how it's different to other approaches to brand and brand strategy. And I reference it all the time.
Okay.
So I think a great strategy to use for that is internal linking. Now, internal linking, I know I've shared a lot today, but internal linking is made easier by having a content catalog.
Yes. Yeah.
So a catalog of everything you've written and where it is and what it was about and the keywords
so
you use.
True. Yeah. I need to, recycle, repurpose. I mean, I've got so many lead magnets at this stage that I just, and then I just forget about them and I don't talk about them again. I, you know, talk about them for a bit and then I make the next one. And
So, and it can be as simple as a spreadsheet. So mine is set up in a Google Doc. Again, if you're interested in this, I've just written an article in the last couple of months on my website, tells you how to put together a content catalog. So you can use it. And then you can reference other articles that you've written that, again, help take your client on the journey of learning to move them from, you know, aware but, you know, not understanding to aware and understanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, you know, having just putting some of, and lots of this stuff is just systems.
Yes.
Which I know we kind of find boring as writers, but
no, I like systems. I like systems.
Writing is meant to be quite creative. So
I like creativity within systems.
I think we can be more creative when we put some boundaries around what we do.
Absolutely.
Definitely from a content creation point of view, it makes your content so much more powerful when you put some boundaries around it. And content strategy helps you to do that.
Yeah.
It helps you put some boundaries around what you're creating.
Yeah.
So, content catalog is another great tool that you can use to get a better return on your writing. Great. Because then you can use it again and again and reference it in other places.
So I'm almost ready to let you go. Just got a couple more questions for you. Something I ask all my guests. What book are you currently reading, or what would you recommend to listeners?
I almost always have two books on the go.
Yes.
one fiction and one nonfiction. So most recently I read Sally Rooney's book Conversations with Friends, which is not her latest book. I kind of came to Sally Rooney at the other end and then enjoyed Beautiful World, Where Are You? And worked my way backwards.
I think I've only read that Conversation with Friends. I don't think I've read the others, but
I love her. I love her style of writing, and in particular how she writes dialogue. Because she doesn't use quotation marks. And I actually love that, because I think her subject matter, what she writes about is like the intimate relationships between people and the dynamics of that. And removing the quotation marks just has this way of making you feel like you're there.
Oh,
like that you're there in the conversation and that you're like in the room with these people as they're having these intimate conversations and moments. And it just has the effect of adding depth to the story. So I love her style of writing. I'm a massive Sally Rooney fan.
And also
recently I loved Who Not How by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy. And that's a business book that goes into the principle of asking the question, who can help me with this? Yeah. Instead of asking, how can I do this? And I found that really powerful and empowering.
It's really smart,
as a business
actually.
Owner.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. That book was the reason I then went and hired a podcast editor, which I hadn't done before. You know,
I've
done two seasons and I hated it. It took me hours. I wasn't any good at it. And then I was just like, why don't I just pay someone to do it? Why do I need to try and learn to do everything?
Exactly. It's so true. And, you know, after I read it, I did things like I increased my hours with my VA and I moved heaps more stuff onto her. I'm like, why am I updating my own content catalog? She can do that.
Yeah,
it's just an Excel spreadsheet. So, you know, it was such a powerful concept. And I think it's interesting. I don't think you have to read the entire book to get something really juicy out of it. You can just read the first couple of chapters and it will just change your mindset on how you approach problems in your business. Like who can help me with this? And in your life, I've applied it to my life as well. Like I decided I really need some help cooking meals at night. I hate it. It drains my energy. I need somebody who can cook one meal a week for my family, like a healthy home-cooked meal. Yeah. And I said, who can help me with this? And it was funny because I was just chatting to my mum about it. She said, well, I can do that for you.
Oh, love it. Oh,
and so, you know, again, like even in, you know, in our families, thinking who can help me with this? Mm-hmm. Who can take something off my plate or give me back some energy in my life so that I can be, you know, a better human. So I love the concept. It's a great book. Really recommend it.
Okay. I will link to both of those in the show notes. And finally then, where can people connect with you? How can they find you? How can they find all these wonderful resources you've mentioned and articles?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there is tons of resources on my blog, on my website, and that's heartcontent.com.au. And you can also find me at HeartContentAU on Instagram and on Facebook. And you can connect with me directly on LinkedIn just under my name at Amy Lee.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. I've loved this conversation. It's been great.
If you need more help with your writing, head on over to my website, lizzytangi.com, where you can find a ton of resources to help you. There's a free author workbook to help you decide which book to write and focus your ideas, along with daily email guidance from me for a week as you work through the questions in the workbook. You'll also find links to everything mentioned on this show in the show notes.